Job troubles around the world could last a while.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective. What's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us in the United States. It could take even longer for global employment to return to pre-financial crisis levels. The United Nations International Labor Organization, the ILO, says continued budget cuts in the developing world will hit jobs in a lot of places. The BBC's John Bithrie is with us live from London this morning. Hi, John.
Hi there, Steve.
How extensive is this ILO report?
Well, the ILO's looked at the levels of employment in 69 countries, both developed and developing. It says that there are 23 million more people out of work now than there were before the onset of the banking crisis and the global recession. About two-thirds of those job losses are in the US and Europe. And from what the ILO is now saying, it's going to take even longer than earlier estimates for the labour market to rebound. That's because governments, particularly in Europe, are running scared over deficits and slashing public spending, so the ILO says employment won't recover until 2015.
And what's the ILO, John, saying about the effects of this long-term unemployment?
The longer people are out of work, the harder it is to get back into work. The ILO says 40% of job seekers in developed countries have been out of work for more than a year, and that figure is worst among young people. The recommendation is that countries focus on training young people and reforming the financial system so savings are used more productively to create jobs.
All right, the BBC's John Bithrie in London. John, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
In Brazil this weekend, voters will elect a new president. Whoever wins there will be charged with leading one of the world's fastest-growing economies. Reporter Annie Murphy has more from Rio de Janeiro.
Widely favored to win this race is Dilma Rousseff, chief of staff for current president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Lula, as he's commonly called, is a former auto worker and union leader. During two terms in office, he's been moderate economically, comforting critics who initially compared him to Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Economist Marcelo Neri.
Caracas is not here in the sense that we respect market, but we have a strong social agenda.
Under Lula, Brazil's middle class has expanded rapidly. Economic growth is at a healthy 7% a year. Along with Dilma Rousseff, the two other main candidates are José Serra, the current mayor of Sao Paulo, and Marina da Silva, an environmentalist from the Amazon. Whoever wins isn't likely to stray far from the current economic program, but they'll have to address the widespread inequality that is still a source of concern here. In Rio de Janeiro, I'm Annie Murphy for Marketplace.
World stock markets are higher at the moment. Growing manufacturing in China and falling unemployment in Japan, keeping stocks on the plus side today there. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost a little ground, shed 47 points to close at 10,788.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. And by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at ConstantContact.com/social media.
Well, this weekend, the government winds down the Troubled Asset Relief Program. A lot of people thought TARP would cost taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars. But yesterday, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner said it could wind up only costing about $50 billion at the most. Still, as TARP turns 2 years old this weekend, Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports it's about as unpopular as a screaming toddler.
The TARP was passed by the Bush administration with the support of both Republicans and Democrats. Lawmakers were hoping to save the world from financial collapse, but they're not getting many thank yous right now from the American public.
In the end, we're still in kind of the same straits. So, as far as I can tell, it didn't work at all.
That's Michael Wilson in downtown Los Angeles. This is Kevin Trevor.
I think it did help somewhat, but it's really hard to measure whether they should have done more or should have done less.
Talk about backseat driving, and the frustration echoes from coast to coast. Here in New York, we found Johanna Wiener.
It didn't help the people that needed the help, as far as I know. I mean, because I truly don't know who's lying and who isn't lying, and it has made me very mistrusting
Many economists believe TARP did stop the financial system from collapsing. Here's Mark Zandi, the chief economist at Moody's Analytics.
That was a slam dunk success. There was no aspect of the policy response to the financial panic or Great Recession that worked out better than the bank bailout.
So how did it get so unpopular? I asked Jonathan Alter, who wrote a book called The Promise, about the first year of the Obama presidency.
The question that a lot of Americans asked was, hey, where's my bailout? These rich guys are getting bailed out. Where's mine? And where's mine is the oldest question in politics.
And he says TARP is so complicated and it's changed so many times, most Americans can't keep up with it.
First of all, voters don't even know that most of the money's been paid back because they don't pay attention to things in that level of detail. And they have conflated, many of them, the TARP bailouts with the stimulus.
The Obama administration has tried to get its message across, but Alter says officials should have followed FDR's example. In his first fireside chat in 1933, he spent a few moments talking to the American public about banking. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
To see how much money's been dished out from TARP and what's been returned, check out Marketplace.org. And finally, all the business news of the week in a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
This week marks the end of the TARP, and the pain of the bailout still sharp. It costs less than we thought, but for all that we bought, its opponents continue to carp. We were facing a massive default that could make the economy halt. But although the real push came from President Bush, voters think it's the current guy's fault. Europeans are mad because the budgets they had were wishful thinking and now they need shrinking. And who else is nervous? The Postal Service just failed to revamp the price of a stamp. And why are they broke? Well, it's easy to see. There's the pension they pay to a retiree. Plus, you don't need a letter to contact me. It's easy, reliable, instant, and free to put index finger to enter key once you type in marketplace.org.
Marketplace's Bill Radke. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.